And so I think that I settled into answering the question of like, what is Christianity? It became less of a to-do list and more of a person to be with, right? Mm. And what's really fascinating is once I got that relationship aspect solidified in my heart, then I actually became more productive for the kingdom.
Right.
Right. Because you're not just like out there spinning wheels. Gotta go. No, you're primarily being with a person. And then out of that, now the power of the Holy Spirit is operative in your life. And even though you may be doing less things than I used to be doing, or at least a less frantic pace, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm settled into the love of God and am not trying to perform because I know I can't.
Yes, yes, double amen, yes. In what is becoming a theme here on the Catalytic Podcast, we read in John 15:4, where Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And as you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, we do have another wonderful interview episode here on the Catalytic Podcast, this time with Nathan Wagnon of Watermark Community Church. And it is true that once you begin to really abide in Christ, it's really then, you know, it's no longer a performance-based process of trying to do ministry, but rather, as we abide in Christ, he even says, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And he tells us to abide in him. And so, as you can tell, we have got a great episode. Thank you for joining us. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Again, I'm Mike Falkenstein, and I'm so glad that you are with us once again. And I have a great guest with me for another one of our interview episodes, Nathan Wagnon, who, Nathan, I think you and I have known each other maybe 3 or 4 years now. And
yeah, right.
You are out of Dallas, Texas, on staff at Watermark Church. And a lot to be said about Watermark. I'm a big fan of Watermark Church, sure like what you guys are doing, and certainly answers a lot of questions for me in terms of, no, you can actually, you know, be a biblically obedient church and still really impact. In fact, that's how you want it. You really should be impacting people for Christ, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, totally.
So it seems like you guys have done a good job of balancing the, you know, we do want to have a Sunday morning experience and do that well, but that's not all. We're doing some equipping and some training and, you know, whatnot. So I'm sure thankful that you're with us. Why don't you give folks just kind of a minute or two on kind of who you are, what you do in at Watermark, and, you know, just introduce folks to yourself.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it. Like Mike said, my name's Nathan, and I'm the Director of Equipping and Apologetics here at Watermark Community Church in Dallas. And what that means is basically I do all things equipping, which includes equipping people who are not yet Christians. So we equip them by answering their questions as they explore the faith. That's the apologetics ministry. And then we equip people to who are brand new believers to practice the basic spiritual disciplines of Bible study, prayer, scripture memorization, evangelism, get them plugged into community. We equip people to think about the Christian faith correctly, or more accurately, hopefully, through our online equipping courses. And sometimes we do live ones, but those are available to anybody. And then I also have a podcast called The Equipping Podcast, where we just take a deeper dive, kind of seminary level type podcast for issues regarding discipleship, theology, and apologetics. So,
wow.
I do all of that. I have a great team. I can't do it by myself, but I have a great team I work with, and they keep me in line. So it's good.
But it sounds like it's enough for a full-time job. And then yes.
Right, it is.
Yeah. That's really great. So, well, good. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, Nathan, about, you know, this whole business of spiritual disciplines and all the things that you're doing. It's like there must have been in the beginnings of the of Watermark Church a navigator trained person too, because, you know, I first was on staff with the Navigators when I first started my ministry career. So I have a deep heart for the spiritual disciplines and scripture memory, and boy, just love. I just feel like that's, you know, so key. So,
well, you caught on to our scent, because we actually have the largest 2-7 series ministry in the world. Yeah.
Wow.
So we've had thousands and thousands of people go through the 2-7, which is, if you've never heard of that, it's a navigator created resource that takes people through a series of three books that teaches them the basics of those four basic disciplines.
You know, so, I'm trying to remember, is that a prerequisite for membership?
No, it's, although there are some people who would want it to be, but no, it's not. We do. It is highly encouraged. When people go through the membership course, they hear about it and they're encouraged to take it, but they don't have to.
Oh, okay. That is interesting. So
gotta whip them into shape, man.
That's right. Well, that's right. And, because it is one thing for a pastor or a pastoral team to, you know, to be telling people, hey, you need to be out, you know, sharing the gospel and out doing such and such. And, but it's a whole nother thing than to actually,
and we're going
to
do it.
We're going to teach you how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is where some churches fall a little bit short. Right.
I mean,
it's, you know, it's, well, that continual commitment of equipping through training, I think, is so important.
Totally. Yeah. And that's, I think that's, you know, you don't teach someone to do something solely in a classroom setting.
That's right.
I mean, if you're going to teach somebody to really do something, then you have to do it with them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a, you know, I can't remember the statistic, but it's something crazy, like, you know, upwards of 80% of what's taught in a classroom is just forgotten. But that same percentage is true of what's caught from people when you actually like do stuff with them. So it's funny, because a lot of times people will be like, well, we do this evangelism training and that means we go in a classroom. And I'm like, well, if you're doing evangelism training, then you need to be doing evangelism.
That's right.
Like, go out and do evangelism. And it doesn't have to be this weird cold call, knock on doors kind of stuff. I mean, it could be, all right, whatever, but you know, it can be in your office or with a friend, or that it should be with that, you know, people you have relational equity with, your neighbor.
That's right.
And so you go do it and you learn by doing.
That's right. Well, that's great.
I don't know. Jesus said something about that sometime. One time he said something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So Nathan, we know with this podcast, what we like to do in our interview episodes is talk a little bit about, you know, how folks came to know the Lord, how then you kind of make these next steps into your relationship with the Lord. And so I'm curious if you could give folks just a little bit of background on kind of, you know, your growing up years, how you came to know Christ, you know, what that was like. I'd be really interested to hear about that.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the Southern Baptist tradition. So my dad was not a Christian when he met my mom, but soon became one. My mom's family are strong believers. And he was ill-equipped to do it. I mean, he was just like, hey, somebody teach me. And he got plugged into the Navigators. So I grew up in a house that was, you know, led by a man who was deeply influenced by the Navigators. And so I was in church all the time. Actually made a personal decision to follow Jesus in 1986. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I've been Christian for 34 years. And those early years were marked by a lot of just basic, well, like you said, the basic spiritual disciplines, learning how to read the Bible, asking questions, learning how to share my faith, sharing my faith, and then learning trial and error. You know, you make mistakes and you learn from them. Mm-hmm. Prayer, scripture memorization. I had an uncle who he'd give me a dollar for every Bible verse I memorized, you know, just stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely grew up in a solid household. And that bled into my just high school years, where I was in a strong youth group. I went to a Southern Baptist university here over in Arkansas called Ouachita Baptist University. I studied biblical studies there. But then kind of when I finished that and started seminary, the Lord really kind of transitioned to another season of my faith. So I'll pause there and let you, if you want to ask anything else, but I can move on into that next season if you want.
Yeah. Well, and in particular, I think what I think we'd be interested in hearing is, and this is what I think the best part of this podcast actually is, that, you know, we hear a little bit about people's, you know, how they came to know the Lord. Then it was kind of these, you know, what were the turning points for you in terms of, okay, Jesus died on the cross for me and I'm safe from my sin. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's just kind of enough, right? They just kind of live in that space. Yep. To go from that to, I need to get involved in God's work of evangelism and making disciples. And so maybe that would be, you know, these next steps for you.
Yeah, actually, it's flipped for me, which is really fascinating, because I was involved in, because I was heavily involved in the church. I think I preached my first sermon from the pulpit when I was like 16 or 17. Mm. And was doing evangelism on campus. We were a part of, you know, we led prayer groups at our school. I mean, we were, you know, when I was in high school, I led a couple of just small groups of guys through discipleship type material. And again, I was a product of that type of mentality, which I'm super grateful for. I mean, they're really, Christianity for me never was something that you divided into two, like, oh, I have my religious life over here and then I have the rest of my life over here. For me, it was always the same. But I think the thing the Lord had to do for me, performance-based acceptance mentality. Like I have to do this in order for God to love me. And that's where kind of the dysfunction in my life came in. I felt like I was always having to achieve. And it wasn't my pace of live, because it was outrunning the pace of my interior life. My interior life had to catch up. And so the Lord, in a very, I think, providential way, just slowed me down and made me, he literally forced me to stop. I mean, like, medically forced to stop. And, I think I began to ask the deeper questions through that, like, who is God? What is the Christian life? Is the Christian life just about doing all of these things? Because I was exhausted. Mm. Because I was trying to live a God-type life primarily in my own strength. And that just doesn't work. It never has worked for anybody. I mean, even for Jesus, when he came, he drew his strength from the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I began to ask those deeper questions, and really that's when my interior life started to catch up with kind of my exterior performance. And so I think that I settled into answering the question of like, what is Christianity? It became less of a to-do list and more of a person to be with. Right. Mm. And what's really fascinating is once I got that relationship aspect solidified in my heart, then I actually became more productive for the kingdom.
Right.
Right. Because you're not just like out there spinning wheels. Gotta go. No, you're primarily being with a person. And then out of that, now the power of the Holy Spirit is operative in your life. And even though you may be doing less things than I used to be doing, or at least a less frantic pace, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm settled into the love of God and am not trying to perform because I know I can't. And it's that inability where I was able to rest. And then the Holy Spirit began to it's almost like retraining my entire outlook on it. And now when you talk about doing ministry, it's a day in, day out. Who is the person directly in front of me that is deeply loved by God. And so ministry opportunities are everywhere, but I'm not doing them out of a sense of I have to do this in order for me to be a good Christian or in order for God to love me. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because the love of Christ compels me, right? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Right. So that's kind of the how, you know, a lot of my story is maybe a different from quite a few people. The Lord had to actually slow me down.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you don't mention the what happened medically, but actually in my own
story, I was depressed.
Oh, were you?
I was running at such a pace that my brain literally, I mean, the serotonin level in my brain just went all the way down to zero.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't control my thoughts. I couldn't control. I literally thought I was going crazy. And so I got appropriate medical attention and saw good doctors and made the changes I needed to make. But the Lord used that to what I tell people, he put his boot on my throat.
Oh, right.
Said, pinned me down and said, sit still. You know, the way one of our pastors around here said, he knew me at that time. And he was like, yeah, it was like a thoroughbred was being tamed, you know?
Oh, right. And,
that's probably fairly accurate.
That's so. Right. So have you been in full-time ministry kind of your whole adult life, or did that come later for you?
No, yeah, it came later. So after that experience, about a year and a half later, I actually joined the military. I was in the Army for about 6 years. And you know, that was another thing I think I mentioned elsewhere that I wrote my master's thesis on the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And I looked at my life and was like, okay, you know, Southern Baptist upbringing, Southern Baptist University, Dallas Theological Seminary, Master's of Theology. It was kind of like, I have this really narrow kind of one track experience. And I really wanted to test a lot of what I'd been learning, like it, because if the claims of Jesus are not real in the trenches in Afghanistan, then they're not real anywhere. Like it's true everywhere. And so I think, I joined the military, one, to serve the country. I mean, I think I'm a strong believer in that, but then also, to just do ministry in a fairly secular context, which the military is definitely that. So I was an infantryman. I deployed twice to Afghanistan. And the Lord gave me really rich ministry while I was there. I mean, I led small groups of guys, literally I was leading small groups where the guys we'd meet and then everybody would go out to all their different things. And some guys are up on an outlook point, other guys that are at a combat outpost, and other guys on a forward operating base, and they're getting into fights and doing all kinds of stuff. And then we'd come back and we'd meet again.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like, okay, well, it, all of a sudden the, hey, how was your week? You know, ended up being a lot more interesting than, I went to work 5 days a week. It was, so.
Right. And I can only imagine that the importance and the impact of the groups had to be just a touch greater, knowing, hey, I'm going to work and I could die today.
Yeah, you could die. You know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's, I mean, people definitely, there was definitely a sense of, your own mortality for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think also it just, you know, it made for an environment that was, like you said, guys were listening.
Sure.
And what was cool about it too, I actually wrote a book out of that as experience. It's a mentoring tool for young men called Checkpoints, A Tactical Guide to Manhood. So and that's done really well. I encourage if somebody's listening to this and they've got a son or a son in college or, you know, or a grandson, then go check it out. I think it's a helpful resource. It helps men have the right conversations with their boys as they're growing into men.
So, that's great. And that's just available on Amazon and
Amazon. Yep.
Wherever else. Yeah. That's great. It sounds good.
It's a NavPress book. So, or I think Tyndale owns it now. So,
oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for that, man. What a great episode. I am so glad that you're with us on the Catalytic Podcast. This feels to me like a good time to take a quick break. So let's take a break. When we come back, I want to get your take on the advice that you might have for churches who are going, okay, Nathan, I get you. I feel you. but boy, we're trying to apply some of this in our own church. What advice would you have? And so let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
Well, Nathan, in the last few minutes that we have with you, let me just ask one more question, the one that I really enjoy asking all the people that come on the podcast, which is, you know, as we enable Christians to reach their world for Christ, we also want to speak into the church leaders that might be listening. So out of the two book resources that I've recently written for our ministry, one of them is a resource specifically for church leaders and elders in particular of churches. And so we have a heart for those guys. And, you know, as you know, you don't have to read through scripture much to go, that's a big job, right? You know, overseeing, you know, well, the name of the book is Keeping Watch Over Souls.
Totally.
Taken from that passage in Hebrews 13. And if you're keeping watch over people's souls, that's a that's a pretty big responsibility, right? So so we want to speak to those guys. And so I'm wondering, as you think about the kind of a one thing that you might encourage the church leaders with in terms of, you know, how to enable their congregations to become fully devoted followers that are bearing fruit for Christ. Being on staff at a church that seems like has gotten some of that down, I'm curious to know, you know, what you would say to those leaders that might be listening today.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of a story that a friend of mine told in a book that he has, when really it comes from Jerome, the early church father, who was recounting John, the apostle John, as an old man in Ephesus. And you have this old man, and you talk about it, and talk about an elder. I mean, you know, the apostle John, an elder in Ephesus, right? Mm-hmm. And the Jerome recounts this story where he says John's students would carry him when the church would gather, they would carry him in. And because evidently he couldn't walk anymore. So they'd carry him in and he would constantly say, little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. He just repeated over and over again, little children, love one another. And these guys, his students, get exasperated by him, you know. And so they ask, I can just hear it, kind of some frustration in their voice. Yeah, as like Jerome recounts this story, is
got that one. Yeah,
they're like, hey, teacher, why do you keep saying this over and over again? And John's reply to them was, because it is the command of our Lord. And if it only is done, it is enough. And that's exactly right. You know, you can have the greatest strategy in the world. You can have the greatest battle plan. You can have the greatest, you can have the most skilled people, but if the very center of who you are and what you do is not grounded in God's love for you and for other people, you have nothing. And so my encouragement to church leaders, just like they are, I talk about this around here all the time, is I'm like, hey, do your ministries, think critically about them, be strategic. Yes, all of that is good, but more than anything, love your people. And make sure that that love that you have for them is rooted in, grounded in the love that God has for you. We love because he first loved us. And so I would encourage you, if you're listening to my voice and you're leading a church, just make sure everything you do is done in the love of God.
Thank you for that. That's really great. So Nathan, you'd mentioned your book, which folks can go to Amazon to get that. I'm wondering, is there any other, if there are people listening in Dallas, you know, what would be the best ways for them to connect with, to Watermark? I don't know if you have a personal blog, maybe you can direct people to contact you that way. What would be the best ways for them to get in touch with you and Watermark Community Church?
Yeah, the best way is the watermark.org. I have my own, every staff member has their own, page on our Watermark website. So I would just say go there. It's a great catch-all. And then also I would encourage you, obviously you're listening to Mike's podcast, which is great. Continue to do that. But probably the most consistent content that I put out is through what's called the Equipping Podcast through our Equipping Ministry. You can find that on Google Play or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. So
that's great. I can attest. I've listened to some episodes and they're good. They're meaty, but they're good.
Yeah, they're meaty. Yeah.
That's great. That's really great. Well, Nathan, thanks again for being with us and hope to have you back sometime soon.
I love it. Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the 16th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I am so encouraged by the comments that we're getting from folks about the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And on the heels of Nathan's interview, which, by the way, let me quickly just thank Nathan again for being with us. How great it has been over these last few years to get to know him, and look forward to continuing to get to know him better and better. You can see why I asked him to be on the podcast. This is a good dude, and so I'm really excited to have him here. On the heels, though, of his interview, if any of what he said resonated with you, in particular, I'm thinking of, this idea of, he had to get kind of out of his own way and allow the Lord to really come in and be the one to guide and direct his life, his ministry. If any of that resonates with you, let me just highlight a resource that we have here at 1-8 Catalyst. I wrote a book about a year ago called What You Do Shows Who You Are, The Six Marks of a Disciple of Jesus. And it's really intended to sort of teach you exactly what it looks like to be a disciple. And quite frankly, what it looks like to kind of get out of your way, to die to yourself, so that you can begin to see God use you in the ways that he's intended to use you. And so let me just highlight that as a recommendation of one of the resources that we have here at 1-8 Catalyst. The book is available on Amazon. It is actually intended to be a group resource. So obviously you can go through it yourself and that would work well. But really, it would be nice if you went through it with a community group or a Sunday school class. There are 8 questions, discussion questions at the end of every chapter. And so it really is intended to be a resource that you're gnawing on this content together with others and encouraging each other to grow and praying for each other. And there are all kinds of tools and resources in the back. Some of what Nathan and I mentioned in terms of spiritual disciplines, I'm teaching you how to do those if you've not ever had an extended, time alone with God or never done scripture memory or, so forth and so on. So it's available on Amazon, and I would highly recommend that as a way to kind of take the next steps in your walk with the Lord. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Our request line is 303-335-9658. We'd love to hear from you there. Whatever questions, comments, show ideas that you have, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I sure am looking forward to having you with us on the 17th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 1-8catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.